Chapter 7.
Undesigned Coincidences. Between the letters which bear the name of St. Paul in our collection and his history in the Acts of the Apostles, there exist many notes of correspondency. The simple perusal of the writings is sufficient to prove that neither the history was taken from the letters nor the letters from the history. And the undesignedness of the agreements, which undesignedness is gathered from their latency, their minuteness, their obliquity, the suitableness of the circumstances in which they consist to the places in which those circumstances occur, and the circuitous references by which they are traced out, demonstrates that they have not been produced by meditation or by any fraudulent contrivance, but coincidences, from which these causes are excluded, and which are too close and numerous to be accounted for by accidental concurrences of fiction, must necessarily have truth for their foundation. This argument appeared to my mind of so much value, especially for its assuming nothing beside the existence of the books, that I have pursued it through St. Paul's 13 epistles in a work published by me 4 years ago under the title of Horae Paulinae. I am sensible how feebly any argument which depends upon an induction of particulars is represented without examples, on which account I wish to have abridged my own volume in the manner in which I have treated Dr. Lardner's in the preceding chapter. But, upon making the attempt, I did not find it in my power to render the articles intelligible by fewer words than I have there used. I must be content, therefore, to refer the reader to the work itself, and I would particularly invite his attention to the observations which are made in it upon the first three epistles. I persuade myself that he will find the proofs, both of agreement and undesignedness, supplied by these epistles, sufficient to support the conclusion which is there maintained, in favor both of the genuineness of the writings and the truth of the narrative. It remains only in this place to point out how the argument bears upon the general question of the Christian history. First, St. Paul in these letters affirms in unequivocal terms his own performance of miracles, and what ought particularly to be remembered, that miracles were the signs of an apostle, Romans 15.1, 19 or 2.12. If the testimony come from St. Paul's own hand, it is invaluable, and that it does so, the argument before us fixes in my mind a firm assurance. Secondly, it shows that the series of action represented in the epistles of St. Paul was real, which alone lays a foundation for the proposition which forms the subject of the first part of our present work, viz., that the original witnesses of the Christian history devoted themselves to lives of toil, suffering, and danger in consequence of their belief of the truth of that history and for the sake of communicating the knowledge of it to others. Thirdly, it proves that Luke, or whoever was the author of the Acts of the Apostles, for the argument does not depend upon the name of the author, though I know no reason for questioning it, was well acquainted with St. Paul's history, and that he probably was what he professes himself to be, a companion of St. Paul's travels, which, if true, establishes in a considerable degree the credit even of his gospel, because it shows that the writer, from his time, situation, and connections, possessed opportunities of informing himself truly concerning the transactions which he relates. I have little difficulty in applying to the Gospel of St. Luke what is proved concerning the Acts of the Apostles, considering them as two parts of the same history. For though there are instances of second parts being forgeries, I know none where the second part is genuine, and the first not so. I will only observe, as a sequel of the argument, though not noticed in my work, the remarkable similitude between the style of St. John's Gospel and of St. John's Epistle. The style of St. John's is not at all the style of St. Paul's Epistles, though both are very singular, nor is it the style of St. James's or of St. Peter's Epistles, but it bears a resemblance to the style of the Gospel inscribed with St. John's name, so far as that resemblance can be expected to appear, which is not in simple narrative, so much as in reflections, and in the representation of discourses. Writings so circumstanced prove themselves and one another to be genuine. This correspondency is the more valuable, as the epistle itself asserts, in St. John's manner indeed, but in terms sufficiently explicit, the writer's personal knowledge of Christ's history. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Chapter 1, verse 13. Who would not desire, who perceives not the value of an account delivered by a writer so well informed as this,